Deep in the farthest recesses of the most distant jungle lies a city. A city populated by the most mysterious, terrifying, and downright grotesque denizens ever seen by mortal eye. Here, in the darkened corners of this cavernous locale, sits an ordinary, average brick building with an innocuous, ordinary, average blinking neon sign which reads, On Air. It is here where each week, Seth Breedlove and Mark Matzke convene to discuss the greatest mysteries the world has ever known. Now, strap on your hiking boots, grab your trusty walking stick, and don't forget your machete as we begin our journey through Monsteropolis.
This is Monsteropolis, a show about monsters, anomalies, and legends. I'm one of your hosts, and my name is Seth Breedlove. I'm joined, as always, by my pal, Mark Matzke.
Greetings.
This week we are... So, Monsteropolis is the official show of Small Town Monsters. For loyal listeners, we are doing a live show in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on July 19th, Friday, July 19th. I don't have, do you know what time it starts?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, early. Maybe we'll go out for dinner with people afterwards. Who knows?
After drinking a lot of coffee.
Yeah, we'll all be wired. It'll be great. But we're doing the show. It's going to be a live presentation, basically, of the show. And it's going to be focused on Chestnut Ridge weirdness. I think we are going to try to record.
Yeah.
I'll just bring like a laptop and my Yeti. So, not a real live Yeti.
Just a in Yeti. A cage.
Yeah.
Should we do like Astonishing Legends, like to the degree that I'll be seated and you can roam about?
Oh, that actually sounds like a great idea.
We can do a reenactment of Astonishing Legend.
Sounds like a really solid idea. what else? Black Forge Coffee House. Black Forge Coffee House, July 19th. Tickets $5 to $10. Please be there early if you're planning on attending, because seating is limited, and I have been told by a number of people that they're coming. I say this now, and then we'll get there, and there'll be like five people.
Hey.
Yeah. How's it going? We're going to talk about the Chestnut Ridge to the five people that bought tickets. But yeah, be there, and we're looking forward to hanging out with a lot of people. I'm hoping Stan would be there.
We should. That's not true.
We should extend an invitation to Stan. Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
You're right, though. Stan would inevitably take over that show.
No, I respectfully disagree, but... Yeah.
You know what Stan told me last week, though? Shocked me.
What?
He thinks On the Trail of Bigfoot is the best documentary on the subject.
No kidding.
On the subject of Bigfoot, he said that's the best he's ever seen.
That's awesome.
Which shocked me. Like, yes. I really thought, you know, because we give him a voice in it, obviously, but for the most, like, it's a lot of people saying that there's no evidence for the paranormal stuff. But Stan, we've always said this, Stan is simply reporting what comes to him. So I don't really think Stan gets up in arms over, you know, people not buying into the paranormal Bigfoot stuff.
Yeah. One more Stan reference before we go.
Yeah.
We're about a week out from our annual reunion with Stan Gordon, who will be appearing at Monster Bash. I believe he has a Friday segment for his talk. And the real draw is that he makes a special recipe of meatball that he brings for the organizers of the Monster Bash conference that he let us have some last year, and it was indeed legendary.
I met Stan's wife, by the way, which I don't think I'd ever got to meet.
Really?
Meet her before,
yeah.
So that was cool.
She's super nice.
Yeah. But yeah, if you're in Pennsylvania, we'll be at Monster Bash all weekend in Cranberry, PA.
You can't keep us out of Pennsylvania.
No, apparently not. I'm sure we're talking about making
They're
another invasion now. So yeah, apparently not. I'm moving there. We probably could have done a show about Pennsylvania Bigfoot camping adventure. I got to go out to dinner with Cliff and Sean Forker and the Ohio Night Stalkers, which is a really strange group of guys.
I saw a picture of that.
Yeah. Not Sean so much. Sean and I are usually, if we're together, we gravitate toward one another. Mm-hmm. But to go out and then have the Night Stalkers and Cliff, and we had a very introspective discussion about life and Bigfoot that went for like 3 hours.
Wow.
And ended with us closing down a bar, not drinking, but buying out their chocolate cake. and they closed while we were there. So we found
that's very cinematic.
We left this restaurant we were at and we all wanted dessert. And so we walked across the bridge and everything was closed down in Ohio Pile. And so I saw a light in the distance and I was like, there's an open bar. Let's go see if they have something, you know, like dessert of some sort. So we went to this bar and went in and I said, do you have dessert? And the girl said, no. And then she caught herself and was like, wait. She's like, there's banana chocolate cake in the fridge. And I said, I'll take 5 pieces. So she went and got it. She brought it out and gave it to us. We took a tray outside and sat down and continued our discussion. And while we were sitting there, they started closing down.
Wow.
It's impressive.
Closing time.
Yeah.
With my Bigfoot pals.
Eating chocolate banana cake.
So can I ask you something? Yeah. Is Sean... I had read a post not too long ago where he was saying it's time to get back into the game. Is mm-hmm. there anything
he's got
forthcoming? Is he working on something?
Super normal cast. I think he's getting off the ground. And there's rumors about BTE going back into production, but I don't know if that involves him.
Okay.
So, and I do know Forker is a loyal listener of Monsteropolis. He listens to it. I think he told me on his commute, whenever nice. A new episode drops. Another shout out we should do to a loyal listener is Darth Bill.
Told
me he was very disappointed in the lack of new episodes because he was driving to PA and was very excited to listen to the new episode and was discouraged to find that there was no episode.
There's a lot of life happening during those.
Those 2 weeks. I mean, for us, we had not missed a show since we started doing this last September or last October, whenever it was. So it has to be pretty drastic for us to miss episodes, but unfortunately that's where we were at for 2 weeks. We talked about it in the last show, but it really was like, in terms of filming, I should not have left that open. Hold on, I'm gonna shut this. The clock will go off and start hearing Somewhere Over the Rainbow playing
for 8 minutes.
Yeah,
the 8 minute remix.
Yeah, for 2 weeks, I mean, it was really, really chaotic. 1 week was due to filming, and the next was just due to recovery. So anyway, we're back now. We have letters we're going to read, and then we're going to talk about the reptilian overlords.
Yes.
Which is, more than likely, there's going to have to be a reptilian conspiracy part two, just like we're going to have to do a black helicopter conspiracy part two, because I've been told by many people that the black helicopter conspiracy episode was their favorite episode of the show so far.
No kidding.
Yeah. First letter comes to us from Hernan David Gonzalez Venegas. And he is attention of president, director, CEO.
That's you, right? Yeah,
the subject is projects introduction, period. You put a period in the subject line. Hope this finds you doing well and enjoying the nice, cool weather. I'm a projects director, consultant, and middleman to local miners of gold and diamond in Ghana. I am seeking for reliable and responsible investors in gold and diamond all over the world. Prior skills, experience, and advance upfront payment is not required. Why would you pay to... It's not required. Interested investors, do not hesitate to contact me for full information about the project. Lots of mining sites and virgin lands of gold to be mined, both surface and deep mining. Some kilograms of gold are also available for disposal. If there is anyone interested to do mine sites in Ghana, please let me know. If you interest, please kindly contact me on my personal email. And then he gives his personal email, and we also have his WhatsApp phone information. So if anyone wants to get involved in mining, let us know, and we'll get you in touch with Hernan.
You know what is very disquieting is that that's what the reptilian overlords want, is the gold.
Oh, because it's, well, also, yes. Like, couldn't that potentially be a way they're opening up further entrances into our world from their world at the center of the earth?
That the gold helps power that very process.
Do you want to read the next email from Zachariah Barton with subject line Sasquatch?
Yeah, oh, this has me written all over it.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I thought I'd let you.
Hello, guys. Here's a strange question for you two. Have y'all ever come across reports on male or female genitalia? I have only come across a report or two on it. Thanks. Take care and have a good day. Zachariah Barton, a very loyal listener, I must add, and major retweeter.
I recognized his name, but I genuinely thought he was trolling us because it doesn't specify the Sasquatch is in the subject line, but otherwise it just sounds like he's asking us if we're familiar with women. While I'm thinking of it, check out that picture up there on the top and tell me what you think, that makes you think of. So for listeners, I'm pointing something out to Mark that it has nothing to do with female or male genitalia. It's a picture of a Bigfoot face drawn by an eyewitness that seems to have tusks, which immediately reminded me of the devil from Missouri. Those reports from 1800 or 1900s of the devil.
Eating people's farm animals.
Yeah. That was from Andy, by the way.
Oh, was it?
That's from Andy's, that one and that one were both given to me by Andy. But the fact is there are very few reports that recount someone looking at genitalia. I don't think you would really notice female, but male, you would think a large, gorilla. But that's the thing, like with gorillas, I've seen gorillas. I don't really think you're checking out their junk. Like, it's not really blatantly apparent either, right? It's kind of like hidden.
And I think
by their pants.
Their little Hulk pants?
Yeah, they're tiny, tiny purple sweatpants.
You know, one of the things that, because Lauren Coleman has a whole talk about this very subject, which he did at one of the Ohio Bigfoot conferences.
Much to the chagrin of many people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he alleges is that even if that's given as a detail of a report, that many the folks who compile those tend to leave that information out for various reasons, and some of which is just sort of embarrassment, which the whole point of his thing was, you know, if we're talking about a biological creature, this shouldn't be embarrassing. It's just the facts of life.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, those things tend to be swept under the rug. So even if people have reported those, there's a good chance that they'll never see the light of day because people sort of self-censor as they're taking the details down.
There's also my personal theory that they're all wearing tidy whities. next, what do we have next?
Next is, let's see, episode 27. Yeah. From Neil. Hello, I'm originally from New England, now residing in Pennsylvania. First time I ever heard of Mystery Hill was on an episode of In Search Of. I never visited the site, but most things I've read about it seem to point to early colonial farmers. Really enjoying the episodes. Look forward to episode 28. And then I think it's
There's the same.
The rock walls you saw, which are scattered all over New England, are remnants of property boundary lines. You have to remember that by the late 1800s, most of New England was clear-cut, and many more farms existed than they do today. The farms are mostly gone, and the forests have grown back, so when those walls were built, it was all open country.
Yeah, that's very interesting. He's referencing, I had talked about how when we were driving down the highway, you would look into the forests and just see rock walls everywhere. And I wasn't 100% sure what that indicated. So thank you for setting me straight on that, Neil.
So those would have been rocks removed from the fields in order to make them more hospitable to farming and then just grown over.
Zachariah has another email. Good day, gentlemen. Here's a might not be so simple to answer question. The question or two will deal with extraterrestrials. If ET were to land on Earth today and end the question that they exist, how would y'all handle the breaking news? That leads to the next question. How would the news affect any religious or spiritual you may have? If the second question is a little bit more than y'all want to tackle, I understand it might not be not answer. Still enjoying the show, and thank you making the effort and work to do the podcast. Take care, Zachariah. If ET were to land, any question? How would y'all handle the breaking news? If ET were to, man, I would just hope it wasn't Gort. Know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's actually a fascinating question that I think would be
a whole episode. Yeah. I kind of feel that way too. So maybe we should write that down or something, but how would we, you know, like a realistic view of if aliens landed on the White House lawn tomorrow? So we'll tackle that in a future episode, Zachariah, and we'll make sure we credit you when we do. But now on to much more pressing topics of concern, such as our reptilian overlords.
There's one more letter.
Is there?
There was.
Oh, Mystery yeah. Black Panther. Yeah, go ahead, read that.
Oh, okay. Hello, I just wanted to say I love Small Town Monsters and Monsteropolis. The Bray Road Beast is my favorite cryptid documentary. Is it possible for you guys to do episodes of Monsteropolis covering Black Panther sightings in America and or an in-depth look at the Dogman phenomena? If you guys are interested, I recommend listening to Dogman Encounters on YouTube. Also, is there ever going to be a Small Town Monster film covering the Bishopville Lizard Man? It would be cool to have a Stranger Things feel to it. That would be awesome. Anyway, that's about it. Keep on being awesome.
The Lizard Man is a movie we need to make. Unfortunately, there's no longer... Your key witness is gone. Your the sheriff who investigated just died. We are kind of out of options as far as how many people we could interview now. If we can come across archival material of some sort, I would totally be open to doing a movie about the Lizard Man. It was always one that we talked about doing as part of Southern Monsters. It's one of the reasons we haven't released what the final movie of the Small Town Monsters, Southern Monsters trilogy will be. So we'll see what happens. Definitely yes to doing Black Panthers. I feel like we should have Alexander maybe call in or something for that and interview him about...
That'd be great.
Yeah, Mystery Cats and all that. So that's a definite... Yes, at some point. And we should do an episode on Dogmen because we haven't really delved too deeply into that entire phenomenon yet. So, yes, we will do both of those. Great, great suggestions. And thanks for the kind words about the movie, too. It's always encouraging to hear that so many people love the Bray Road Beast movie.
Yeah. If you ever find yourself in Bishopville, South Carolina, I heartily recommend the Cotton Museum that's there, because they have one corner of it dedicated to Lizard Man memorabilia and even an alleged track cast.
David Icke popularized the idea that world leaders are, in fact, reptilian folks. At first, many people thought that Icke meant reptilian figuratively, but then he clarified those comments, and it is clear that he means literally. Icke believes the reptilian overlords have been in control of humanity since the time of ancient Babylonian and Egyptian mystery schools. According to this view, these reptilians are apparently driven by base emotions and primitive motivations. I've got just paragraph after paragraph of writing about reptilians, so we are not even going to scratch the surface. You could almost consider this an introductory episode for reptilians, because we're already 18 minutes into this and we're just now getting to the theme of the show, but we really enjoyed our first foray into conspiracies with black helicopters and, what was it? JBH's. I do have to admit on the show publicly that I have since discovered that the reference point I was using, the article in question with all the JBHs, is actually a parody article. It's done by a website that I no longer have in front of me, but I'm going to have to post a link or something to this website because it is amazing. These guys do fantastic like conspiracy theory parodies. They had an article about like tree octopuses in Washington that was amazing. And so anyway, they got me. I fell for it. It does not make that article any less wonderful, and I'm strongly recommending it to everyone out there. What I just read is from an article on Guardian that kind of like introduces people to the idea of the reptilians. And it goes on and on about this. Do you know when the reptilian thing really took off?
I think that it's linked to Icke's first big book, came out in 1998. Mm-hmm. I think it's The Biggest Secret is the name of the book.
Okay, he's like an anti-Semite though, right? I mean, like I can say that. I've listened to interviews with this guy where he essentially says that like all Jews are like reptilian overlords. And as someone who has Jewish lineage, like this is something that actually comes up pretty frequently in conspiracy circles.
Mm-hmm.
Like anti-Semitic views. Do you know, like, what is the deal with that? Because man, I don't want to throw, there's another person that recently passed who is very highly regarded, who I considered to be an outright anti-Semite. But I've noticed that a lot of these like conspiracies are like rooted in anti-Semitic ideology, which I didn't immediately mean to go in this direction. Yeah, wow. But that's like where I'm going.
Sure.
Like, do you notice that or is it just me?
No, I think what's really amazing because we're taking the deep dive first, which yeah. I'm good with, but what's literally happening with reptilian, this whole concept to me, is it is an actual demonizing of your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, and in what you just read there, I mean, Icke has clarified that he's not speaking figuratively.
Yeah.
He means that this is really happening. And so in this case, he's made, you know, the forces of evil as he sees them in the world, you know, actual living demons. I mean, you can call them reptilians from another star system or what have you, but at the end of the day, you're saying that they're monsters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's just classic human nature. That's human nature 101 is, you know, if the person who disagrees with you, you see them as another human being, then there's a chance that you might see their humanity and you could come to some peaceful resolution. But if you can come to see them as a monster, then what's the problem with destroying them?
Yeah.
You're kind of called to do that. Yeah. So that's where you end up finally. And that's what's so frightening about, you know, if someone really believes this,
mm-hmm.
and is pushing it to the nth degree, then it gives you a green light to do just about anything.
Sure.
To people you disagree with, which is, I don't think Icke would say that that's what he's trying to accomplish. You know, his sort of, talks and stuff sort of end on a empowering humanity note in sort of a very broad way. But unfortunately, when you demonize your opponent, then you say, you know, you're either for us or against us. And that's scary.
Okay, so we went right into like the deepest part of this yeah. conversation we could have. So let's backtrack and talk about the reptilians in general. So the thinking is that this is some sort of reptilian race, and there seem to be two lines of thought, one being that they came from the center of the Earth, and the other being that they have come from distant galaxies, right?
I yes. mean, are the two or not? Icke's whole thing is they came from Alpha Draconis in the Draco constellation.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very clearly ET is the origin, and that they came to Earth for the gold through a process of DNA manipulation and crossbreeding. They fashioned human beings to essentially be a slave race to mine gold for them and do other things. And in that way, it sort of parallels a lot of what Zachariah Sitchin was going after Sitchin, with the Anunnaki hypothesis.
Truthrevolution.net has an article titled Reptilians in Ancient America, and Reptoids, reptilians, dinosauroids are nothing new to the Americas. In fact, since the beginning of our known history of the Americas, the native peoples have recorded, worshipped, and idolized these reptilians. The Mayans are certainly no exception. The Mayans spoke and recorded history of a species of iguana men who descended from the sky, taking charge of their civilization. These reptilians taught them how to build their magnificent pyramids and even instructed them to arrange them in patterns reflecting the constellations. The legendary Mayan story of Gucamats speaks of serpents of wisdom, reptilians, enlightening the people, and sometimes even devouring the young, which is something that comes up, this eating of children comes up a lot through through even modern day, like, reptilian conspiracy theory stuff. Super creepy, but before this is over today, I've got to get into one of my favorite aspects of this, which I found on newspapers.com this morning, which is an article about reptilian conspiracy theorists believing that the purple dinosaur Barney is trying to eat children. So I'm very excited to read that for you.
Yeah, that's
multiplies
the terror.
Prepare yourself. There are all sorts of conspiracy theories surrounding the reptilians about children's morning shows. But Barney apparently is, like, the leader of these. But Teletubbies also kept appearing when I was as some sort of, like, propaganda or something on behalf of the reptilians. So talk to me about, like, what all have you learned regarding the evil reptilian?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's this whole, you know, it's an incredibly tangled web. But the what Ike manages to do is take all of the strands of, you know, classic conspiracy theory, everything from the Illuminati, Freemasons, United Nations, CIA, the royalty of England, and so forth, and allege, the Rockefellers and Rothschild family lines, and create a unified theory that explains everything, which, you know, he would tell you is that it's a reptilian race that has infiltrated all of those groups that I just mentioned, not to mention then as well, entertainment industries and everything else.
Government, especially with, if you look on YouTube for reptilian conspiracy, you'll find any number of videos of rock stars, pop stars, pop cultural icons, and government officials morphing or seemingly dropping their reptilian guys for a brief period of time, which seems to mostly be like them yawning, sneezing, making a strange face, which I'm just thankful no one's videoing me because, like, I'm sure after this episode comes out, someone will claim that I'm somehow a part of the reptilian conspiracy. But we're already at 28 minutes. I've got to get to this article because this was the most exciting part of my morning. There's an article, and it seems to be like an op-ed that was written in a small newspaper. And the headline is Barney haters flip their floppy disks over reptilian conspiracy. This is from Sunday, March 12th, 1995, written by what is seemingly a very grouchy man who hates conspiracy theorists with a passion. But let me get into to the funniest part of this. An internet jockey named Jamie, fewer named Joe or Al, monitors the Barney haters closely, and he has passed along what he says is the real reason for their campaign to kill the big, cheerful dinosaur that is loved by millions of little children. It has to do with the survival of this nation and civilization. Indeed, even life on this planet as we know it. Barney, they believe, represents a threat that exceeds any of our past wars, famines, plagues, or even the possibility of a second or third OJ trial. This is how Jamie of Cleveland describes this perceived danger. According to many of the Barney haters, the government of the United States is in touch with aliens from outer space who are reptilian in nature. These aliens have been able to corrupt certain powerful people in the government who are assisting them in taking over the world. Many of them believe that TV shows like Barney that show reptiles in a good light are the government's attempt to brainwash our children out of their innate human repugnance toward anything that is reptilian. One of the main proponents of this theory is a man whose father was a major industrialist. These people take this business really seriously. Some even attribute a religious significance to it, believing that the biblical references to serpents was God's warning about these things. You can check this stuff out. What's really interesting about this article is that it was written sort of at the beginning of like the internet, like becoming a thing. And the entire article, this very grouchy man paints anyone using the internet as like a fringe whack job. And he also calls their masculinity into question.
Wow.
Talks about how he wants to reinstate the draft. All sorts of stuff, which is hilarious because like he's calling out like whack. I mean, what probably are like pretty out there individuals who believe Barney is literally trying to eat children. And he's, do you hear this?
I do.
It doesn't stop. But it's such a weird like rabbit hole, the reptilian thing. And it's one that I've actually, I talked to Adam, because he's heard Ike speak before. And he said, what's really interesting is like, his first, like, he'll do like a 4-hour talk or more, 8-hour talks. Like, it's crazy. And for the first few hours or couple hours, it's almost just, it's super rational. Like, you know, there's some conspiracy, but it's really rational. And then he'll take a hard left turn out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, you're just like right into the thick of it. And it's almost like he's sort of, not brainwashing, but he's using some mental mind games to like get people into what he is talking about that are really fascinating. I've heard that from other people too. Like his seeing him live is almost like seeing, like a motivational speaker or something like in the way he's playing games with the audience.
Did you know that in, I think it was the early 90s, he went on a British television show, Ike did, and claimed that he was the son of God?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I didn't know that.
And the host, I forget his name, but was pretty, I won't say abrasive, but he was clearly skeptical of those claims. And Ike made a comparison between himself and Christ and said, well, you know, 2,000 years ago, nobody would have believed him either if he were sitting here right now.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm aware, he also predicted an end of the world date, which didn't take place, but I've never heard him walk that statement back. So there's a precedent in Ike's case for, you know, unapologetically making pretty bold statements, which is in itself a kind of programming, if you will.
Sure.
You know, to see how far you can push. And if nobody really pushes back that hard, then you just keep going with it. So there's so much there. I think he's a fascinating individual, obviously, and I'd love to know how much he really believes in this. I mean he's selling it as he believes in a literal reptilian race, and he's sold 2 million books plus, so
he's a draw. Like anytime he speaks. Like I said at the beginning of the show, we're going to have another show devoted to this subject because we only talked about it for about 15 minutes. So maybe on a future episode, we will hit reptilians again. If you like the show, send us emails to monsteropolismail@gmail.com. Leave us ratings and reviews on iTunes, Google Play, all that stuff. And like us on Facebook. Don't forget to show up for the July 19th Black Forge Coffee House live Monsteropolis presentation, and we'll catch you guys soon.
Monsteropolis is proudly presented on Wadsworth Community Radio 97.1 FM or streaming live at wadsworthcommunityradio.com, and is proudly underwritten by Thurber's Jewelers on the Square in downtown Wadsworth.